You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What you need to know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Real quick, Sam Amick of The Athletic wrote this crazy awesome piece in The Athletic today about the Lakers, LeBron, the front office, Mark Jackson, all that stuff. He's going to join us at 6:30. Funchy's going to get him on the phone for us. But Lauda, what do you got for what you need to know?
All right, guys. I'm going to do two. One really quick. Okay, April 15th is around the corner, and don't wait like your girl to do your taxes. Because I was stuck there for 3 hours, and let me tell you, that is not fun.
Oh, no, I always get that stuff done in February, dude.
Dude, I totally forgot. But yeah, don't do that. Anyways, April 15th.
Well, especially if things are a little complicated. You have multiple jobs, right?
I have two jobs.
Yeah. See, I got the same kind of issue. George, I don't know.
George has like 10.
I know.
You have like 10.
Yeah, and so it just becomes complicated.
Yeah, it's a lot. So don't wait. But the actual what you need to know. So I talked about this way earlier when Portos said that they were going to bring a new location to Northridge. Well, it officially opened today.
Across from the mall, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So if you guys were in the Northridge area, you guys are not going to have to, you know, come to Glendale, Burbank, because there's one in your town. That's what you guys need to know.
That is what you need to know. Brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. People love Cuban food, man. People stand in line for it. That's for sure.
Oh, man. Their food is good. Look, I'm not going to diss Portos because, as y'all know, I brought it and I love it. But I will say that after trying Tropicana, because Portos has been the one that my family.
Well, they've been around forever, yeah.
You know?
And there's more locations, yeah.
Yes.
Have you had the cheese and guava roll?
I mean, Funches, I grew up on that stuff. Yeah. That's literally you remember the line?
I killed a dozen of those.
Do you remember the line? Did you watch the Dark Knight Rises?
Yeah.
You know, the Bane, when he says, you merely adopted the dark, I was born in it. Like, that's literally what I'm just about to say.
Laura, what was that you brought last time?
So the
croquetas?
Croquetas.
But they're from Tropicana.
Okay, but what's in that, a croqueta?
It's just a ground ham.
Yeah. I thought it was a donut. Laura was like, yo, you want some of this? I'm like, I don't want a donut at 6 o'clock at night. And she's like, no, try it. I tried it. I was like, oh, my God. It was like, remember the first time I ever had honey-baked ham? You got to understand.
Oh, my gosh, so good.
I grew up kosher.
People wait in line for that stuff during the holidays, too. Yeah. That's
not
crazy.
Not even during holidays.
Dude,
it's regular.
Dude, I grew up kosher. There was no pork. There was no cheeseburgers. There was no steak on the table with a big glass of milk. Like, to me, that would make me throw up. Yeah, like, it was gross to me. But I grew up kosher.
Right.
So, ham, nobody ate ham. Nobody ate bacon. Mm. Nothing. Mm. And when somebody turned me on to a honey-baked ham, it's a few years ago, I got over all the guilt. I was like, oh, my God, this is the greatest thing I've ever eaten. And I stood there at this freaking honey-baked ham, and I just kept picking at it night. Yeah. Honey-baked ham is delish. Sorry, Rabbi. I'm just telling you the way it is.
No, it's so good. So the first time I had it, I used to
like he's listening,
right,
Rabbi.
Right, like, Rabbi, I'm sorry. Yeah.
He might be. But I had it when I used to work in Pasadena, and I was like, why is everybody literally on, like, what's happening? What are they giving out? Because that's literally what it looks like from their line, is that somebody is giving something out.
Those croquetas are amazing. You know, now that we're talking about
croquetas,
food,
and the potato balls are good. Carne con papa. Yeah,
yeah. So good. I should have brought some. I brought some for DeMarco once. Mm-hmm. Dude, he's like, I don't know what this is, but it's amazing.
Of course. Let me tell you something. Cuban food is
good.
I have joked with my wife. I have said we should go and just find a little spot somewhere in like Torrance and like open up a 10-table Cuban restaurant. I'll like kidnap somebody's abuelita, like, you know, from Miami. And it would be, I mean, when I see the lines around the block for Tropicana and Portos, I'm like, bro. Yeah. And it's not like super expensive food either. You know what I mean? Like, it's so, because people always joke with me, like, people have tweeted me, right? Or like a guy, I remember a couple, before COVID, like one of the listeners was like, hey, I'm going to do my bachelor party in Miami. Where can I get a really fancy, great Cuban food? And I started laughing, and I wrote it back. There's no such thing as fancy Cuban food, bro. Like, it's just, you can go to like a mom and pop little hole in the wall, and it's fine. So, like, I have thought about it, but man, a restaurant is such a hard business.
Oh, man. I know. Everybody wants to own a restaurant and like be the maitre d', like,
no,
where you're just walking around shaking hands. But, dude, it's a rough business. I had a little bit of a food breakdown earlier today, as a matter of fact. I was driving up here, you know, and I was like, I haven't eaten anything, and I really want to eat. and I'm really hungry, and I kind of know what I want to eat, but I shouldn't, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah. What do you need?
I stopped at Chick-fil-A.
Oh.
Now, if you were going to go to Chick-fil-A, what would you get?
I'm not a big Chick-fil-A person.
I mean, I'd probably get like a chicken sandwich or maybe like the chicken nuggets or something. Or,
well, I got both.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Aren't you trying to lose weight, bro?
Yeah, I know. I got the 8-piece chicken nugget thingy because that's just eating the chicken by itself. You're on a diet, so you're not having two sandwiches where you're having four slices of bread. You're on a diet. So you're eating, not grilled, fried, the real stuff here. The breaded, the fried, the carb, the bad for you kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Then I took my fat pills.
Because they have the grilled, you know, chicken nuggets.
What?
Yeah, then I took my fat pills.
Yeah.
What? That's what my 15-year-old daughter calls my cholesterol medication and my blood pressure medication. No, she's like, go take your fat pills, Dad. That's what she tells me. That's what they're called.
And was it good?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, so good.
What sauce do you use?
No sauce. I'm sauceless.
No.
I am sauceless.
No.
That's a no-no sauce. That's a no-no.
Do you use sauce at Chick-fil-A?
Yes. Yes, I do. The Polynesian sauce.
Okay.
The
Polynesian sauce is great.
Oh, my goodness. But why do I want to mess with it? I got the I got the spicy chicken deluxe, which has the pepper jack cheese, the lettuce, tomato.
No,
not enough pickles.
But like the nuggets. You dip the nuggets in the
Polynesian
sauce.
Yeah, but I'm in my
sauce.
Car. I'm driving. I'm eating while I'm driving.
I mean,
I'm
you can't just
these little nuggets.
Here's, you just can't put the little sauce thing inside the box where the nuggets are.
You just ask Cap if he can multitask.
I mean, I want to be safe while I'm driving. Hey, by the way, I'm busy texting while I'm driving. I don't have time to dip stuff.
Are you doing that?
No.
You got a ticket for that.
I can't dip sauce while I'm texting
I'm not
and driving.
Dump that for you.
I mean, you know, if you had a Tesla that could drive by itself, then maybe I'd say that's okay.
Yeah.
Not good, bro.
No, I know. Bad.
What is wrong with you? Just use Siri.
All right, my bad. I wasn't texting. I was lying.
Might
I was exaggerating.
No, you weren't. You were totally telling
the
truth.
I was not texting.
For once, you were telling the truth.
I was not texting.
Yeah.
I was tweeting.
Why don't you just use Siri to text? Seriously.
I don't know. I don't know how to use it.
I mean, we just taught you how to use Siri the other day.
Hey, Siri, would you please wake up? Nothing.
Oh, my gosh.
Siri.
She hates me, too. She doesn't do it.
Hey, Siri, come on here.
I mean, geez.
Nothing. She doesn't say anything.
Just, you got to make sure that the phone is open.
Oh, wait.
And then just say, hey, Siri.
Hey, Siri.
There you go.
Hey, Siri.
She did. She did the move. She made the move.
She said, I'm not sure I understand.
Hey, Siri, can you call Scott Kaplan?
Hmm. Wait, I think my phone is. I think my phone is talking to me. I don't know how to use it.
Yeah. Hey, Siri, can you call Scott Kaplan, please?
I'll tell you right now, George, you're talking to my phone.
Scott Kaplan.
There you go.
Mobile. Yours likes you.
Where's that coming from?
Sedano's.
I'm calling. Yeah. You want to pick it up?
Hello?
Let's see if I put you on speaker. How this works.
Oh, I'm putting you on speaker. Hello?
Hi.
Great radio guy.
What's going on?
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you doing?
I mean, I'm doing a radio show. What are you doing?
You all right?
Yeah, I'm good.
Good to hear from you, man.
Yeah. Don't use Siri now, okay, when you're driving instead of texting.
Hey, Siri, where's the Chick-fil-A? I'm getting another series of Chick-fil-A, I think. I think I need to do it again.
All right, I got
to
go. I got to finish this radio show.
All right, me too. I'll see you later. Right, bye-bye.
Where's social?
They're gone. It's 6 o'clock. Are you serious?
Overtime, people.
Overtime. Hey, what's going on out in LA Live? When I walked in today, did you guys see like
there's an event going on?
Yeah,
so
what's
cute? The little carousel back there.
Oh, what's going on out there? But I want to know.
Electric Daisy Carnival.
I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, that's hardcore right there.
I don't know. There was a lot of security out there, and there were turnstiles, and I was looking at it like,
yeah,
I'm going into this thing as soon as we get off the air. I don't know what it is, and I don't have a ticket for it, but I'm going in.
You're going to hug it out like you did with Magic. I totally know whoever's
With security guys, I do things a little differently. I have a little couple different moves that
I do
with security guys.
You do the slide with the money in?
No, No. I don't do that. I usually, when I'm trying to do things with security guys, I have a move that I make where I'll walk up to the security guys, and I'll say, like, I'll be with my friends, you know, there's 4, 5, 6 people, right? And I'm like, come on, let's go to the VIP area. And they're like, we don't have VIP tickets. I'm like, come with me. Right. And then I walk up to the security guy and I go, hey, all these people right here, they're all with me. Go ahead. Everybody go. Go ahead. All right. Hey, good to see you, man. Goodbye. And I walk in. When you do that, the security guy is like, this guy knows what he's doing.
Mm.
Right. And so they just kind of let you go.
No, bro.
That doesn't work here in LA, bro.
No, it works.
Yeah. No, it does
works.
Not.
Works everywhere. It's foolproof.
No.
I've used it everywhere.
No.
This thing works. I'm telling you.
No.
You guys are coming with me one day. I'll show you.
I don't want to get kicked out of anywhere.
See all these people, they're all with me. Let them
go. They'll probably see Sedano and be like, oh, yeah.
No. I'm good. I will watch you do that. and see how that goes for you.
And he'll have his VIP ticket.
No, dude, you don't even understand. Like, I have done this before, and, like, people are like, come on, for real? I'm like, no, for real, watch.
No, I mean, I'm sure there's some places you can get away with
like,
that.
Like, if you're at a music festival, like, I use this all the time at music festivals, and, like, there's a VIP area, you know? And so, like, the regular folks who got the regular tickets, or the ones that I got, they're all standing in line. But the VIP, you go around back. And then the VIP, they're like, okay, this guy must, he must know what's going on. And then you walk up and you go, hey, all these guys, they're all with me. They're with me. You know me. Come on. They're with me. They all walk in, and then I follow. This is a good move. This move works.
I do a different kind of move, and it usually works.
What kind of move do you do?
I just flash a smile, and, you know, sometimes you just,
oh, really?
I mean,
oh,
not the whole thing.
I just saw that gesture.
I mean, not the whole thing.
I saw that.
I saw that.
Wow. You saw that?
It up. Right. And that's it. Yeah. It worked. Right. Just saying. Just flash a smile.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do the same thing. I don't get in.
Yeah. I don't ever do that stuff. I just, like, I buy the ticket that I'm supposed to buy.
No, I talk my way into everything.
No. Well, I'm not surprised that that's what you do.
Yeah.
All right, listen, coming up next, Sam Babick is going to join us at 6:30. We're going to talk to him about this insane Lakers story that he wrote in The Athletic about just kind of the future of the team, the coaching situation, the front office situation, LeBron, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Let's kind of dive into some of it on our end first and give you some of the details so that way when you listen to Sam at 6:30, you've got an idea of where we're coming from. So we'll do that next. We're back in 3 minutes and 15 seconds.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Oh, yeah. I need a girl to ride, ride, ride. I need a girl to make my wife Funchy.
Look at Funchy move, though. Look at him shake. Look at him get down.
Dude, this song's dope. Oh, I love this song.
Not just dope. Song. Not just dope.
No. It's
a little more. Yeah. It's beyond dope.
Dope what?
AF.
Yeah.
S-A-F.
Yeah. AF. Do you have a, do you know what song this is?
This is the song. It's like, it goes like, it goes.
I just sang it.
Yeah. Baby, baby, baby.
No!
Yeah.
Who sings this? If you had to guess.
Well, nobody's singing any words
well,
yet.
Well, because it's just the instrumental.
I don't know. Give me a hint.
Famous producer.
Okay.
Hip hop, obviously.
Okay. All right. Kanye?
No.
Not Ye?
No. It's Ye, but no.
Ye? Oh, it's Ye, not Ye?
No, not Ye.
Yeah. Okay.
Go back a little further.
Okay.
In time.
Dre?
A little,
one more time, one
a
time.
Little, a little closer.
A little closer.
You're in the middle now. You got to get in the middle.
All right. I don't know. Give me another hint. Famous producer. Give me more.
His first name is Sean in real life.
Oh, Puff Daddy?
Yeah.
Diddy.
P. Diddy or Diddy.
Yeah.
I prefer Puffy.
Puffy.
Puffy. Okay. That's a good one.
All right.
Yeah. I need a girl, man.
I need a girl to ride.
Ride, ride. I need a girl part one.
Oh, yeah. I got two.
And there's
two.
Part two.
That's right.
As well. That's part one. Do we got two? Oh, here's part two.
Oh.
I need a girl part
See,
two.
Now, if I would have heard this, I would have gone puff.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure, yes.
Faux shizzle.
But the first one's better than the second one. I think so.
The first one is good. Play the first one again for a second.
Okay, hold on. Gotta, you know, gotta do the little
This is not the kind of music that me and Key like. We like Bon Jovi.
Yeah, right.
Me and Key like Bon Jovi.
See, this one is kind of like a fun little daytime song. You know, you drive it in the car.
A day party.
Yeah, this is like you're drinking rosé.
Yeah. It's a day party is perfect, right, for sure. And you're chilling, right? Sun's out, guns out, you know what I mean? Chilling, drinking. Now, give me two again.
Okay.
Sorry, my bad. I know. It's a lot of asking.
Now,
this is like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, it sun's coming down.
Right. This is now, we're transitioning now.
Sun's coming down.
Right. Yeah.
And now, go give me the hard stuff.
Right.
You know?
Right.
We got to get down.
From rosé to tequila mandala.
Mandala, there you go.
Yes. Right. Exactly. Extrañejo.
Let's see.
Yes.
How to treat a man.
This is what I need.
If you happy, then be with him. Go ahead, mommy, breathe again.
Come on, Fun.
Oh, I know
no, you know what's funny is that Diddy has actually became famous for doing what you just did.
That's right.
Yeah.
I was like, I know both of these songs, so I'm going to show up a mic now.
life I'm into, life I've been through, and how I had Jam.
By the way, Diddy was great. What was the movie? Get Him to the Greek?
Oh, yeah. He was really good.
He was hilarious in that movie.
That's a funny movie.
You've seen it?
Believe it or not.
Right, I have to ask.
What's the British guy's name? Tall, skinny dude.
Oh, man.
He was dating Katy Perry.
Russell something, right? Russell Brand.
Russell Brand.
Yes, he's very funny. He's very funny in that movie.
Yeah, he's very funny. Not so funny, and we're going to have Sam Amick of The Athletic to talk about this in about 10 minutes, is kind of the situation with the Lakers. All right? So in this story, he kind of discusses all the potential hurdles, right? Mm-hmm. And he talked about Westbrook, which we've talked about at nauseam. But this stuff about the front office, I know you've been keyed in on the front office, okay?
Well, you've been saying to me what you think they need to do is add more brains and brain power and opinions.
To the think tank.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed. So he was talking about, he kind of started writing in the story, and you read the story, about how, you know, there was a part of the story where he's talking about LeBron and when he said, look, I don't make those decisions, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, Sam says he may as well have said, I just work here.
I swear to you, it's so funny you're bringing this up because it's exactly where I stopped. Not that I didn't read the rest of it, but right now, as I've got it pulled up, I'm like, I love this line because it says to me that as the writer, you listen to what he said, but you didn't buy a second of it.
Right.
You were not buying what he was selling.
Yeah. So Sam then adds, make no mistake, the messiness matters to James and every other Lakers employee who simply wishes they'd do better. But James most of all. So Sam emphasizes that the sloppiness potentially at times and the cutting corners at times of the operation has probably surprised him initially and still kind of is befuddling to him because you think of this, the Lakers, right? You think the Yankees, right? Like you think, and it's like, no, it's a little smaller operation than most places.
But what do you think LeBron is comparing it to? Is it his days in Miami or is it his days in Cleveland?
Like, I would say it's the days in Miami and the second stint in Cleveland.
So let me just understand this because
the second stint in Cleveland, he basically, I mean, he talked about it openly in an interview where he took the model that he learned from Pat Riley and that group and instituted in Cleveland. It's why the guys he brought in when he left Miami to go to Cleveland, who are the guys he brought over as role players to kind of help the culture? James Jones, who played with him in Miami, Mike Miller, who played with him in Miami. He tried to get Udonis Haslam to go to Cleveland with him. So yes, I think that he is. And remember when they played Miami this year, he was fawning.
Oh, yeah. All over Eric Spoelstra.
Over Spoelstra and the structure and, you know, the way that they do. And we kind of looked, we both kind of looked at that and were like,
At the time, we might have thought he was taking a shot at Frank Vogel.
Right.
But really, if we think about it now, he was probably more taking a shot at the Lakers organization.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, what Sam gets to here is that basically any athlete of James's stature, especially at this stage of his career, wants the organization to excel in winning in the margins, which is exactly what I said to you the other day. They have done a poor job in the margins. Now, part of that is on him, okay? However, not all of that is on him. And basically, what Sam is saying, and by the way, Sam has been very plugged into the Lakers over the years, okay? I know Jeannie Buss has done interviews with him and whatnot. So that the lack of connectivity or continuity or whatever doesn't necessarily inspire confidence. And he says that, like, LeBron himself kind of subtly highlighted kind of the issues here is that control is one that will continue to be the front and center as far as this particular pairing is concerned. Like, they will be wrestling control perhaps from each other at times. And what he also adds, like, look, LeBron has suggested a lot of things, which is what I told you. And he said he wanted Ty Lue. He wanted this. He wanted that. Right? Like, he goes on to a list of things that he wanted that he didn't get. Right. So he's like, you know, just because LeBron may want Mark Jackson, like Sam is reporting, it doesn't necessarily mean that's going to happen. Because he wanted Ty Lue. He wanted Jason Kidd before Frank Vogel and didn't get any of those things. And I've told you in the past, there are things they have told him no about. So I found it odd that when the Russell Westbrook thing came up, that they didn't push back on that either.
Right. That is why I have been saying to you over and over again, I want to understand why Rob Pelinka, who is an employee of the organization, is untouchable as if he's a member of the family. Because here's the one thing we know. Rob Pelinka could be fired. Kurt Rambis and Linda Rambis could, in theory, be told, we don't need you anymore. But there's one person who will never be fired in this equation, and her name is Jeannie Buss, because she owns the team. It's her family's business. So why is Rob so untouchable? And I'm not suggesting that I'm sitting
relationship,
here.
Relationship, man.
Well, I know, but sometimes, George, when you have these tight-knit relationships and you think of loyalty as being a virtue, sometimes loyalty can actually cloud your judgment as to what are we trying to do and do we have the right people in place? Because I love this person. I'm loyal to this person. They mean a whole lot to me. But you know what? If I'm really, really thinking about winning, maybe we don't have the right people. But it's hard to make those kinds of adjustments and moves when you're theoretically pushing out your friends.
Agreed. Now, look, Jeannie did, I'm not saying this literally, obviously, but she took out her brother. Okay.
But that's family drama. You know what I mean? It wasn't just basketball drama. There's a lot there.
Agreed, but he was running basketball operations. And Kobe said, you know, like, if you want LeBron to come here, like, you need to clean up that situation on the basketball side.
But I think what we're learning, and I say learning because I don't think I really did know this, is that when LeBron came to the Lakers, you're probably right. He probably thought, without doing a deep dive into the business operations, mm-hmm. he probably just thought, I'm LeBron, I'll get some other guys that I want to play with, and we'll go win a championship because of what we do on the floor.
Right.
Whereas now, I think...
He's realized.
That it's bigger than just me being the best basketball player on the planet.
Correct.
Because I played my ass off this year, MVP level, and we didn't even make it to the play-in. So there's an organizational issue here.
Yeah.
And I think what LeBron is getting at without saying it, and at least I think it's the way Sam is writing it, the way I'm receiving it, is the Lakers 2022 need to get hip with modern technology,
mm-hmm.
whereas they're kind of being run the way I look at Winning Time. You know, I see they're kind of being run in the old school way, the analog way, the handwritten paper and pencil way, whereas they're not being run today, digital, high-def, computerized technology. That's the way I read all of this.
Yeah, and look, Sam adds this, and we're going to talk to him in a couple minutes. He adds this in the story, which I thought was fascinating. He, as in LeBron, knows that the team would be better off by bolstering the basketball operations infrastructure, changing the well-deserved narrative that they run like a mom-and-pop shop by adding experienced executives to work alongside President of Basketball Operations Pelinka, who continues to have Jeannie's support, and his right-hand man, Kurt Rambis, who also is expected to remain as a divisive and extremely influential presence.
That word right there, divisive. That's something I want to dig into.
Let me continue.
Yeah.
This is a Lakers front office that inspires a deep distrust and frustration in many of its rival front office executives and agents, which means they don't feel like they can get a deal done with them because of their situation. And agents feel like it's tough to get deals done because of this situation as well. Again, this is Sam's reporting, not mine. A reality that doesn't bode well for roster improvement in this desperate time. So we're going to talk to Sam. We're going to be back in 2 minutes and 15 seconds. Sam Amick, the author of this story in The Athletic, will join us next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Kev.
Yeah.
Who sings this? You'll never guess this.
If you didn't get Diddy, you are not getting this.
Come on, give me a hint.
I can't really give you a hint.
Yeah, we can't.
I don't think there'll be anything that I can give you that you'll know.
Try me. Is this all instrumental as well?
No, this one is instrumental. Yeah, yeah. She's playing the instrumental version. I'm trying to think what I could say to you that would actually trigger something.
No.
No. Was he like in a... I'm trying to think of... Was he in a movie or...
So he was a big part of the soundtrack for Barbershop.
Oh, he was, but Cap didn't see Barbershop for sure.
No.
So, it's Fabulous, all right? Holla back, youngin'.
Wait, the artist's name is Fabulous?
Yeah.
Oh, no chance.
No chance. That's what I'm saying. All right. Speaking of Fabulous, Fabulous writing by our friend Sam Amick of The Athletic, who joins us here now. Give me 1 second. Pull him up. There he is. Sam, thank you so much for joining us, brother. Good to talk to you.
George, Scott, thanks for having me. Appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, what's up, man?
It was great to actually, Scott, I actually saw Sam in person at the arena just a couple of weeks ago. I feel like, well, it literally probably had been years since I'd seen you, Sam.
I know. It was way too brief, but we got to say hello, hanging with my guy, Sean Sharania, Athletic powwow. But it was great to see you.
Yeah, it was for sure. And this stuff you wrote was fantastic, as always. So, again, thanks for joining us. So, look, Scott, I know you have a million questions. So because I don't want to hog all your time, Sam. I can talk to you whenever when I see you at a game. Scott has a lot of questions about this story.
All
right. Go ahead.
I'll start off with this. The one word that really caught me, and by the way, I don't know how long this article was, but it was long. And so the one word that's jumped out at me was divisive. Would you just jump into the Lakers front office and in particular, Kurt Rambis as a divisive figure? I think it's been an underreported story this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the dynamic is such that internally and then around the league, I think Kurt, and like always, it's nothing personal here, but he is personality-wise, resume-wise, style-wise, somebody who has folks who love him and folks who don't love him. And I think that some of the internal stuff is just the idea that, you know, and I've learned this across the league, that people of influence or just people who work for teams, they don't always love it when there's not a ton of transparency about who has the juice, you know what I mean? And with Kurt, over the course of the past couple of years, and this is my opinion, it feels like they kind of snuck him in the back door. And before you knew it, it was like, oh, Kurt's a big part of this again. And, oh, he's as influential really as Rob Pelinka. And, you know, and he's got, you know, a very close, long relationship with Jeannie Buss, of course. And so you kind of see the dynamics. But then, I mean, you know, then you take that profile and you say, okay, well, how did that jive with the coaching staff? Well, I don't think it landed very well at all. I think they felt like they were, like he was always kind of lurking and watching what they were doing. And even though, you know, it's been well established, Kurt had a lot to do with Frank getting hired. Kurt and Phil Jackson both had given kind of a thumbs up to the Frank Vogel hire in the beginning. But it was uncomfortable in my opinion, for the vast entirety of last season.
Well, that leads me to another word that you use in this piece, and that is dysfunction. So when you talk about Rambis kind of looking over Vogel's shoulder, so now you're the head coach and you're like, what, would they send down a spy here to go walk upstairs? So to me, divisive was an interesting word that stuck out. And now I think we're all learning about Laker dysfunction. Can you jump into that?
I think that, I don't know where to begin with that one. Today's NBA is different. And, you know, this is kind of low-hanging fruit. But if you compare the Lakers and the Clippers, you know, the Clippers are owned by a guy who's in the top 10, you know, on the Forbes list and the entire planet of wealth. And as you guys know, with the NBA, you know, paying front office people, paying scouts, paying those types of folks, that is it's kind of a workaround to the salary cap, because that's not part of, you know, the CBA restrictions. You kind of have a blank check when it comes to, if you want five GMs in your front office, go ahead. If you want to pay for them, you know, and the Clippers have like this very deep, you know, collaborative kind of front department, and staffing wise, they have it all over the Lakers, in my opinion. And the Lakers, they're just very much run like they used to be run, where, and it's not just the product of, I really truly don't think it's simply a financial decision. I think part of it is that the last couple of years, if you look at the Magic Johnson experience when it got so messy with the way Magic left the franchise, there was kind of this sense of let's hunker down and have the circle be tight and tighten this thing up. And to their credit, they won the damn championship. So that part you can never take away from them. But I remember people saying when they won the title, like, you know, it doesn't mean these issues disappeared, but winning does mask everything. And it took a little while, but, you know, now that they are struggling again, some of this stuff came to the surface.
Sam Amick of The Athletic joining us here, does a phenomenal job. If you haven't read the story, make sure you check it out. Support The Athletic, support journalism. So make sure you subscribe to The Athletic. I'm a big fan of supporting journalism across the board, The Athletic, LA Times, whatever your local newspaper is. So, Sam, let me ask you about the LeBron aspect of this because, you know, it felt like, and maybe this is an educated guess on your part or just even perhaps speculation, so I don't want to put words in your mouth. But, you know, you mentioned that in Cleveland, he kind of held Dan Gilbert's feet to the fire in a lot of ways by signing these one-year deals. You know, he's potentially someone who can sign an extension in August, which is 2 years, I believe, $96, $97 million. Do you believe that LeBron could potentially go that route with the Lakers?
I do. I don't, you know, I'm probably leaning that direction. By no means am I saying, you know, that's the plan. I don't think he knows at this point. But there, you know, a lot of the intel that I gleaned was the sense of, you know, I use the expression reading the room, that he's deciding yet again, what do I think of everything from ownership on down, ownership, front office, the new coach, who's that going to be? My teammates, you know, are we trading Westbrook? Are we making it work with Westbrook? Are we finding new talent? Do we have some kind of winning on the margins that we can do with role players that come out of nowhere? Are we going to re-sign Malik Monk somehow? Things like that. And if you're reading the room, here's where I'm at is if they – I think he's 100% all in for next season. He's going to come back, try to play great. Spirit is going to be good. But if I'm him – I'm hesitant to sign a two-year extension because what if it's a disaster next year as well? I think at this stage, at this age, especially considering let's assume that he breaks the all-time scoring record next season. So you check that box, and if you then look up and you're missing the playoffs again, if I'm in his shoes, it's going to be tough to not feel like, what am I doing here? I know LA is great, but I'm just wasting away at the end of my NBA career. And if you do a two-year extension and if things are in a bad place, then guess what? You're either stuck or you have the messiness of trying to force a trade. So we've seen this playbook from him before. It's different, though, because while he had a great year this year, but yet again, missed a lot of games for health reasons. That's been the case the last couple of years. So, you know, this is not the, like, no-brainer long-term max salary contract player that he used to be. He still is a max player, but you know, that time is going to come to an end at some point. But I think it just makes too much sense, to be honest with you, to start going short term again.
Sam, I feel like so much of your piece today was about control. What LeBron controls versus what ownership or organization controls. Let me ask you, if the Lakers decided to say, okay, LeBron, you're right. We should add some bodies and some brains and some eyes and some other things to this front office. Is it then expected that LeBron is going to say, hire this guy, and this guy? Because then again, it comes back to control, right? Like, is LeBron going to say, you should do these things, but then here's who you should do them with?
Right, right. Honestly, at All-Star Weekend, this is just me talking, and I don't want to oversimplify, but man, like after he sent, you know, the tweet about Les Snead, the Rams GM, and F them picks. And after he praised Sam Presti, and after he told, you know, our guy Jason Lloyd that he thought about coming back to Cleveland, it felt like he was flexing, right? And then what happened? They had a meeting with Rich Paul and Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka, and then you had public statements about how we have no problem with the Lakers. And it just felt like not that he got checked, but it was some version of that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I think that the feeling is, and I think honestly the reason he does like the Lakers is that up top, that, you know, like any owner, there's a lot you can say about Jeannie Buss that you can criticize, scrutinize, all those things. She does have a fantastic track record of caring if star players are happy. And with LeBron, I think that matters, where that's the spirit of it, and that's part of what their discussion was in their meeting that they had with Rich Paul and that group, was how is he? If there's frustration, what is it? And addressing it, but it's not going to reach the point of, okay, here's the keys to the car. Who do you want us to hire? And the Westbrook trade is an exception. LeBron wanted it. They went with it. They said no to the Kings. Buddy Hield stayed in Sacramento. You know, so there are exceptions, but he doesn't always get his way with this franchise at all. I mean, I wrote it. He would have had Ty Lue be the coach. He would have had Jason Kidd take over for Vogel at some point, and neither of those things happened. So, you know, it's kind of a mixed bag.
So, you know, you mentioned the stuff about Mark Jackson and that, you know, it would be someone LeBron would be interested in having as the head coach. What do you make of the chances of that coming to fruition?
Don't have a great feel for it yet. They're very early in the process. They're kind of in that stage of, you know, qualities, traits, what kind of list are we putting together here? I think they're going to take their time. I think, like always, there's going to be, you know, whether it's a Doc Rivers or somebody else, you're going to have coaches who are in the playoffs that you have timing components in terms of them being busy with the job they currently have. And, you know, are certain guys going to get fired? So I think it'll take a while. Mark in particular, I just think he's in a really interesting place because it's now been quite some time since he was a head coach. But I feel like little by little, his influence in the star player community has grown. And he's got a massive stage when he's, you know, sitting on that ESPN platform, George. I mean, he's no Sedano, but
he is no Sedano. Yeah. Let's be sure about that.
Listen, he's got a catchphrase that I wish I could have made up in Hand Down, Man Down that everybody in the NBA repeats. So.
No doubt. Not to get too melancholy, man, you're giving me a flashback. Mark told me a story one time. The last interaction he had with Kobe Kobe was with Gianna, and Gianna looked at Mark and recognized him and kind of looked at her dad and said, is this the Hand Down, Man Down guy? Yeah, that's him, you know. So, I mean, Mark, on that platform and the way that he analyzes the game and the relationships that he has maintained with the players in today's game, it does feel like it's definitely not just LeBron who, you know, I think would give a big thumbs up to being coached by him. The Warriors kind of still rock with him if you talk to them. You know, his reputation with the players is in a really good place.
I think my favorite part of the piece, though, today, and by the way, really, I just really enjoy the way you write, man. It's very conversational. It's very easy to follow. You got a gift. You're pretty good.
Yeah, I mean,
you're
he's been doing it for a minute. You it's got, not like he's some
hey,
young buck
hey,
here.
Not
I mean,
bad. Not bad for your first article here,
yeah,
Sam.
Yeah. I mean,
not bad. No, but one of my favorite things, though, was when LeBron is talking and he actually calls you by name, and then as he's kind of talking about, well, I just sort of work here, that's the way you put it. Like, he might as well have said, I just work here, because he was pretty much saying, I don't make any decisions, but none of us really seem to buy that.
Yeah, I did enjoy the whole thing, because it was very humanizing, very relatable, because his morning, you know, you take away the nearly $1 billion in wealth, and his mornings are the same as mine.
Right.
You take your kid up to school, right. And yeah. You know, and then so that was his point, was because I had asked him specifically, like, did you have any problem with the way that franchise handled the Vogel news? And even the idea that he was talking to the media at a time when they had not actually officially announced that Frank had been fired, you know, potentially putting LeBron in an uncomfortable spot. So he played it cool and said, you know, essentially, again, I just work here. But I mean, that part, admittedly, guys, that part of today's NBA does kind of drive me crazy, and it's not just LeBron, it's all the guys. Like, I just wish we could start getting some real candor publicly from these players. Like, nobody's judging the fact that you have a lot of juice, but let's stop pretending. You know what I mean? Like, in these press conferences, if it's James Harden, like, oh, did you pull the lever on this trade and say something here? Oh, no, I don't, you know, I just work here. And they don't want the accountability, which I think that part's got to evolve. Like we all know how this thing works. We all know that, from, you know, stars of LeBron's caliber, guys like that, they have a very important say, and that's okay. But it does crack me up that a lot of times they end up trying to pretend that's not the case.
Yeah.
Sam Amick of The Athletic joining us here. One last question for you. With Russell Westbrook, there's, I guess, opinions all over the board about whether he stays, whether they stick with him, or they just move him. I don't think he did himself any favors if he wanted to stay after his press conference the other day. How do you see that potentially playing out?
I'll handicap a trade. You know, the Lakers have got to find a way to not, empty the cabinet in terms of assets just to get off the contract. I mean, that's so short-sighted. That would be my concern if I was Rob Pelinka, is that just to get off this $47 million deal and create some room for 1 year, you know, you can't lose, you know, your 2027, 2029 first-round picks. But I do think that he'll get moved. You know, the teams and agents that I've talked to kind of feel like, yeah, it's imperfect, but like, because it's expiring, you can find a home for it. So, you know, I mentioned Charlotte, Indiana. You hear the New York stuff, the sense I got from the Knicks, that would surprise me. The Oklahoma City gets thrown about, that would definitely surprise me. So I don't know where it's going to be, but it did feel like, to your point, George, about Russ's press conference, it felt like, man, if he was going to speak his truth like he did, then the next step logically is for the team to get with the agent and just figure out a way for the two sides to part, you know, amicably, or as amicably as possible. Because that was, you know, that was him kind of taking some shots on the way out, conceivably.
Boy, what a disaster. At the end of all of this, you know, like, what a disaster. Because remember when Russ first got here, everybody was like, oh, he's home. UCLA kid went to high school here. George, you talked earlier today about how Russ told the story about going to the Kobe Shaq parades.
When he was 9 years old, he skipped school, yeah.
Right. So it was at the time, a feel-good story. And what I find fascinating, just at the end, this has nothing really to do with what you wrote today, Sam, is how the Laker fans have completely turned, especially after what Westbrook said yesterday. Like, the hardest core of Laker fans are like, get out. They want him gone.
Right.
There's no more love for Brody.
Yep. And it's, you know, I know we live in the what-if business and the armchair quarterbacking business, but it is pretty wild to think back, considering the year DeMar DeRozan had. Like, what if they pulled off that scenario, which was something that they could have gotten done, you know, but they went the Westbrook route. You know, I got to own it. I thought it would work in the beginning. I thought it would be a little clunky, but I thought they'd get it there. And then LeBron's a absolutely brilliant basketball mind. So when you heard that he wanted it, it made some sense just because of his track record. But, you know, obviously it's just a train wreck.
Yeah, listen, I'm with you. Although I did I did a mea culpa, Sam. 8 games into the season, I started this show saying, I have made a huge mistake thinking this team can win a championship. And I the fans called in and they were calling me an alarmist. And I'm like, nah, man, I've watched a lot of basketball. I have never seen someone not jive with LeBron on the floor the way that this isn't going to work. And it just, it was a mess. Like, and I think it was a mess the whole season. I feel bad for Frank. Like, I really don't think Frank, he was the fall guy, but I don't think he deserved to be the fall guy.
Well, and it was weirdly reaffirming of the, you know, I mean, whether it's media types or just fans on their couch, some of this stuff is not that hard to analyze. To read Bill Orem, our Lakers beat writer, quoting Frank Vogel recently and talking about how he was worried in the preseason. And you're thinking to yourself, like, wait, I thought you guys always said preseason didn't matter. And he's admitting, like, oh, no, it was ugly, and I didn't like how it looked. And I'm paraphrasing. But, you know, Frank had the red flags waving in his mind before the regular season even hit. So it's up there. I mean, we have these debates about kind of most infamous, ill-fated teams in league history. I think this one is on the short list.
Yeah, no question about it. Sam Amick does a phenomenal job covering the NBA. Check out his work at The Athletic. Thanks, brother. Appreciate the time, as always.
You got it, guys. Have a great night. Thanks for having me.
Great appearance,
man.
Sam.
You too. Take care.
Nice work out of you.
Good. Great stuff. We got a break. We're going to be back in a minute and 45 seconds, and we'll discuss our conversation with Sam next.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thank you, Christopher. All right, real quick. Before we get to Big Deal or No Deal, Sam was great, as we expected.
He really is good.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that the first time you've spoken to him?
No, I think he's been on with us before. But the way he writes, very smooth and easy to
Unbelievably
read.
Talented.
Yeah, really, really good.
Yeah.
Enjoy them.
All right, so Funchy, we got about 4 minutes here. What do you got?
All right, guys. In Japan last week, 20-year-old pitching phenom Roki Sasaki had a perfect game. Maybe the greatest perfect game anyone's ever had in their whole life. He struck out 19 out of 27 batters in just 105 pitches. Now, he did this in the Nippon Japanese Baseball League, which is considered one of the best after the MLB. Now, even though he didn't happen in big leagues, is this a big deal or no deal?
Oh, man. Yes, that number is a huge deal. I don't care what league. You could be doing it in, like, you know, the Pony League for I care. You know what I mean?
Seriously, anybody who can pitch like that in any game, if you told me that a high school kid did that, that's a big deal, you know? So that's – and listen, I think with Ohtani – and we've seen lots of players come from around the world. But with Ohtani becoming the star that he is, I think we're going to see more internationals, and I'm talking Asian countries, you know, not just South American type countries. And I also think this, tell me what you think, George. I think eventually we will start seeing players who are pitchers and hitters, not just pitchers any longer. Mm-hmm. I think that's coming because of Ohtani.
Yeah, I agree.
I will bet my life savings in a few years we'll see this guy in the big leagues.
This guy right here, because he's 20 years old, you said,
he's
right?
He's 20 years old. Yeah. Yes, he's gonna be like a Yankee or Dodger, and they're gonna pay him like $200 million or something.
Yeah, the Dodgers could have been on Ohtani. Now Ohtani took the Angels, I think, because you know, I guess the rumor was the Dodgers weren't keen on him doing both, and the Angels were like, yeah, bro, do whatever you want.
Yeah. Plus, at the time, an American League team where he could DH, you know. Whereas now he could
fair.
Do that.
Now he now you do that in the National League,
right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right, one more, Funchy. Go ahead.
All right, so bad news if you're a Brooklyn Nets fan. Steve Nash said in his presser today before the Nets and Cavs playing game, which the Nets won, even though Ben Simmons is seen shooting around and blah, 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 he still hasn't ran any sprints and is just participating in 1-0 workouts, which I've never heard of. 1-0? Is that just like...
It's just like
around?
Coaches and guys with the ball boys, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Big deal or no deal for the Nets if Simmons can't go?
Oh, big deal. They can't win a championship without him, I don't think. It's too hard. If you look at their path, they just beat Cleveland. They're going to have to play Boston. Yes, Robert Williams isn't there, but still, that's Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, who have been to an Eastern Conference Finals before. Marcus Smart as well, obviously, can be a guy you can put on Kyrie. So that's tough. Let's say they get past that. Then they'd have to play Milwaukee probably in the second round, the defending champions. And let's say they get past them, then they'd probably still have to face the number one seeded Miami Heat in the conference finals. That's just too hard a gauntlet.
I'm going the opposite direction, and I'm saying no deal, and here's why. He hasn't played. You don't know what he is. You don't know how he fits. You don't understand if he really gets what they do. Talented player, but not a system guy yet. So I have no expectation for Ben Simmons to do anything.
Yeah. I get that, but I still think it's a big deal because I think the notion was you made that deal to have him with you on a championship
Remember
run.
When he got traded and everybody was like, oh, yeah, so he's going to play right away. The only reason he wasn't playing is because he didn't want to play for Philadelphia. And people were like immediately like, oh, he'll play right away. You'll see. He doesn't have any mental health related issues as soon as he gets onto a new team. And look, he hasn't played.
Right. Yeah, and there are people, I think there's a combination of two things. I do think mental health issues can affect your physical health.
100%.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. And look, I've covered a lot of his games over the years, and he's had back issues in the past. I have done games where his back is locked up, and he's had to exit the game. Like, that's been an ongoing thing for him. And I just hope for his sake that it's not something more detrimental, because backs are... Obviously, I mean, look, you played professional sports for a cup of coffee, but you played big-time college football. Like, backs are tricky, man.
Oh, dude. Real tricky. So I just don't have any expectations that he's going to come back and do anything.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just say he came back, right?
Right.
You think he walks in, he's like,
no,
he's in
20 minutes.
Shape.
20-minute game. That's all. That's what you're expecting. You're expecting 15, 20 minutes. But 15 or 20 minutes for that team is all you may need from him, at least right now. All right, we're done here. Excellent work, Scott Kaplan.
Hey, I'm so glad we all got together. It was great to have Key in studio on, you know, live.
Key Sedano and Cap today.
It was great. He allowed us to be part of the show, like he allowed Max to join his show.
Yes, correct. Excellent work, Funchy, filling in for Lindsay today. And Laura, excellent work as always. All right, we're done here. We'll be back mañana at 4 o'clock after Mason in Ireland. So make sure you tune in. We will talk to you then. See you.